The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, this is what I like to call hour two. The reason I call it hour two is because it comes right after hour one. I couldn't think of anything more clever. Talking to Patrick Coffin. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Nick Searcy about his film, America, America. God shed his grace on thee. But right now, I'm talking to Patrick Coffin. Patrick, restoretheculture.com is where people can go to find out what you are doing. You are a podcaster, an author. You're the head of what you like to call Coffin Nation. Coffin Nation, really? What is that?
I have no idea, Eric, what you're talking. No. Coffin Nation is an international community of culture builders. We are in 20 different countries. We do live webinars. We do, we're planning some meetups after the dust settles on this this nonsense machine. People get commentary they won't find anywhere else. Most are Catholic, not all. And we finish each other's sentences. It turns out everyone around the world who loves Jesus and wants to make their marriage better are thinking the same thoughts and having the same challenges. So the coffinnation.com is the place where we go. And we also have more fun than canon law permits. So there's that.
More fun than canon law permits. That sounds kooky. I have to ask everyone, do you have any feelings about the last election? Like, do you think that it was fair and that Biden was actually elected? What's your gut on that?
My gut and my head, because I can read, says no, that it's another massive lie hiding in plain sight.
And this is amazing to me. What could be more horrifying? Now, we're not supposed to talk about this. Anybody who says I can't talk about this can go jump in a lake.
Thank you.
Now. Okay, now jump. Because I'm an American, and if I have any doubt, I have every right to bring it up.
Yeah.
When people tell me not to talk about something, that is a big clue to me that they're afraid of me looking into something. But I got to say to you, Patrick, you're an American citizen. What could be more nefarious and horrifying than the idea that somebody would put a bullet in the head of we the people and say, your voice no longer counts. You're no longer America. You're no longer self-governing. We got it. We're going to take control. If that is even possible, how can we not insist on getting to the bottom of it?
We have to insist on getting to the bottom of it. And the more we insist, the more censored we get. I was permanently banned for launching this summit by YouTube. Not that I really care, but ordinary people don't like to see voices censored. It makes them lean in. Whenever I've probably talked to the highest profile banned people, Milo Yiannopoulos, Gavin McInnes, Stefan Molyneux, Jordan Peterson, these people whose voices were immediately squashed. Why? Why can't adults have a free exchange of information? Why do oligarchs in Silicon Valley or the San Fernando Valley get to decide who can press delete and silence these voices? Isn't this what science is? Isn't science meeting one brick wall after another and you work out your hypotheses and you test things by having the clash of ideas? Well, this is the marketplace of ideas. So it's outrageous. And I just want to say this. If you go to the summit and over 20,000 people are already signed up and it's going to grow even bigger in the last couple of days, you're not going to get a hard sell. We're not trying to convert you to a particular point of view or to accept conclusions. What we want to do is give people who show up both sides of the question. If you only have half the side, then you're injecting yourself with something you know nothing about. What is mRNA? Why are they calling it a vaccine if it's an experimental gene therapy? And if you want to take the vaccine, then go have a beer afterward. But know that you are signing up to a medical trial that's not approved by the Federal Food and Drug Administration. It's emergency
authorized. Okay, what you said is just a fact.
Yes.
It's a fact. By the way, you and Naomi Wolf both mispronounce Silicon Valley. It's not Silicon Valley. That's a breast augmentation idea.
Obviously,
Silicon Valley. So listen. You guys are both wrong, and I just want to say it's the most important thing I say today. But what you're talking about, seriously, Patrick, we're in America, we're free. How is it possible that many conservative voices have been silenced on the election fraud? I think to myself, look, you don't have to believe me, but why are you preventing me from looking into it or talking about it? I just can't think of anything more horrible than having somebody in the White House who wasn't elected president by we the people. I don't understand how everybody is not talking about this unless we know for sure, which everyone I talk to says, not only don't we know for sure, but I'm convinced that it's wrong.
My answer now is my opinion, not as the organizer of Truth Over Fear. I don't know who agrees or disagrees with this, but since you're asking me, my answer is this is all part of the slow march toward world communism, which began not in Russia, but in Germany, spread to Russia. Now it's in China, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela. But conservatives are especially afraid of being called McCarthyites. McCarthyite is one of those devil terms that the oligarchs use to keep you not talking about this, right up there with conspiracy theorists. Why can't we just find out what's true? The truth is
look,
simple.
I've been accused. I want you to know I've been accused of spreading. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Spreading too many conspiracy theories. And I thought, okay, so what's the exact number that I should be spreading?
Seven
is fine.
How
many conspiracy theories should I be spreading? Because I don't want to spread too many. I just want to spread enough conspiracy theories. Yeah. But I mean, even the term conspiracy theories, I had a former friend say to me in an email, you're spreading conspiracy theories and lies and stuff. And I thought, oh, thank you for clarifying what it is that I'm doing. Now we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that when you say something somebody doesn't like, instead of arguing on the merits, they basically call you names. You're spreading conspiracy theories. That's who you are. And that's the end of it. I mean, do you think that it's possible that these are conspiracy theories? Why would they be? Why would we believe them if we've looked at the information, we talked to different people? I mean, I know conspiracy theories. The idea that Biden wasn't elected president, that doesn't rise to the level of conspiracy theory, unfortunately.
Yes, conspiracy theory would be there's a cabal of Romanians who made the second Brady Bunch sequel movie. Things that have absolutely no basis in fact, but the QAnon stuff is
like conspiracy theory stuff. Like, it's just crazy. There's some of it's true, some of it's crazy, some of it. But I mean, I'm not in that camp. I'm in the camp of I love this country. I love the freedoms that we have, and I think that we have to be able to discuss everything. We have to be able to discuss the issue of vaccines and whether they're a good idea or a bad idea. We have to discuss the issue of who should get it. We can discuss voting. If you can't discuss those things, this ceases to be America. And there are many people listening to this program right now who have already silenced themselves. And I want to say to those people, they need to understand you're part of the problem if you're doing that. We've just got a couple minutes left. RestoreTheCulture.com. What else can we say?
Well, only you have the right to find out what you can about what's being forced on you. And ask yourself, why the hard sell? Why are there photos everywhere of bishops with their sleeves rolled up getting this jab? Why is it treated like the answer to a prayer when it doesn't satisfy the legal definition of a vaccine? It's an experimental gene therapy. Do it if you want, but find out more. If you don't know more, then there's a serious problem. So again, we're providing information and some formation. We're not providing propaganda. There's no proselytization. We just want the lights of truth open on questions that are addressed by actual doctors and scientists. Many of them have had their licenses threatened, like state senator from Minnesota, my good friend, Dr. Scott Jensen, who's now running for governor, by the way. I was paid to say that. No, I wasn't paid to say that. You need to stand up. If we the people don't stop this, the people running this show are going to keep squeezing the lemon. It's the frog in the pot scenario.
What you don't understand is that the truth is racist. Shame on you for bringing up the truth. The truth is now racist, my friend. Don't you understand that? You need to open your ears and open your mind and understand the truth is inherently racist. Enough truth. We'll go with the propaganda. Well, look, we're almost out of time. RestoreTheCulture.com is where people should go. You've got so many speakers that people are going to learn a lot. And I really think people are waking up. And Patrick, it's thanks to folks like you that people are waking up. It's just, it's always fun to talk to you. I'd love to have you back just to talk about other stuff. We're out of time. Patrick Coffin, restoretheculture.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Today, I'll be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I hope you don't mind. I would maintain that I am qualified, and there's no understudy, so we're just going to have to go with it. As you know, I get around. This weekend, I was in California, and I spoke in Grace Speak Church. I posted that sermon online. I was telling the story from my book, Fish Out of Water. And you never know who you're going to see in the book line. It's really fun for me getting into the book line after the sermon. It's like dessert. I feel like I get to meet everyone, and who pops into the line but Nick Searcy, who is my guest right now. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. And you're one of the best Eric Metaxases I've ever seen. What a performance.
I might even be the best. They're voting on it right now. By the end of the program, we'll have the results. You're a little bit tough to sum up. You're an actor. You're a producer. How do you sum yourself up?
Well, these days I'm a producer director more than an actor. These days I've been sort of moving in that direction since about 2015. I directed a movie called Gosnell, and I really enjoyed that role. I've done some directing in the past, and I sort of
Wait a second. I did not realize that you had directed the Gosnell film, because, you know, Anne and Phelim have been on this program many, many times. They've become dear friends, and which is ironic because I hate Irish people. But, you know, I got to tell you, they are heroes for making, for writing the story and the film Gosnell. It's a chilling, chilling thing. But I didn't know that you directed it.
And I played the attorney, too. I played Gosnell's attorney in it.
All right. So what did you do? We're here to talk about your new film, which I watched last night. It has a kind of a clunky title, America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. I'll have two tickets to America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. But
I didn't pick that title, by the way.
Well, thank the Lord. But you're in the film, you're really the star of the film. But before we talk about the film that I watched last night, what is your story? How did you get into Hollywood? Where'd you grow up? And what are some of the films that you've been in?
Yeah, I was born in North Carolina, a small town near Asheville in the mountains of North Carolina. And just
Billy Graham territory.
Yeah, exactly. Not probably 70 miles from the Billy Graham compound there in Black Mountain. And I just wanted to be an actor my whole life. And after college, I went to the University of North Carolina. I moved to New York and did the whole cliche, you know, struggling actor stuff. Stayed there for 7 years and finally broke into the movie business around 1990 or so. I did a few small roles, and then I got a pretty good part in a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes, where I played the bad guy. And so that kind of gave me enough of a profile that I could move to Hollywood.
Did you meet, all I care about is, did you meet Fannie Flagg?
I did meet Fannie Flagg. Yeah, briefly. She was at one of the cast parties, but I met Jessica Tandy and, you know, just some wonderful.
Jessica Tandy. Did you meet Hume Cronin?
I didn't know. Hume had already passed before.
Oh, is that right? Well, that, no wonder you didn't meet him. Jessica Tandy, who doesn't love her? My goodness. I love some of these old stars. I mean, she was married, of course, to Hume Cronin, and they would appear in films. But there was something so beautiful and delicate about her. And I forgot that she was in that film. It's amazing. But
yeah, she gave me a great piece of advice. I just met her in passing because she was in the Modern Story and I was in the 1930s story. And I met her on the bus and she said, "Oh, my dear, who do you play?" And I said, "Well, I play Frank Bennett." And she said, "Oh, my goodness, you're the bad guy." And I said, "Well, I don't really see him that way. I think he's just kind of misunderstood." And she said, "You know, that's how you have to play it."
So. Yeah, but you already knew that. That's acting 101. Right. Listen, Jessica.
Well, you being a great right. Access, yeah, you would know that.
Unbelievable. Well, that is so that I, because I have sympathy for my character.
Yeah.
You know, I can get inside him because there's stuff in my story that is similar to his story. And that's what I feed on when I'm acting. Because I hung out with Lee Strasberg and Marilyn Monroe and Jimmy Dean. We were just hanging out, and I just learned so much from them. So, okay, well, today you are conservative, you're a Christian, you made a film that, as I said, I watched last night. It's called America, America. It should just be called America, America, colon, God shed his grace on thee. Right. But what this is available by on our platform, salemnow.com. People need to use the code Eric. That's my first name, I believe. But what made you decide to want to make this film and make it the way you made it?
Well, the film was made as a replacement for the Western Conservative Summit last year. They couldn't have it because of the virus. And so they decided instead to make a documentary about
Now I understand. At the end of the film, it says it's funded by the Centennial Institute of Colorado Christian University. I thought, what is that? Maybe I should apply for them to, like, you know, fund a film that I want to make. But you're telling me, so because of COVID, they decided to go with you and with this film instead of the conference. Okay, I didn't know that. See, I've already learned something.
Yeah. And so I think the film turned out to be a little bit different than they thought, you know, but what I tried to do with it was try to make this an overview of history, of the history of America, as, you know, because it was based on biblical principles and how that has changed over the years, how the relationship between America and the Bible has changed. And I did it by talking to some really, really smart people. I think I tried to contact you, actually, and you were too busy. But
you can't afford me, pal.
That's right.
Listen, I mean,
we had a very limited budget.
In all seriousness, I knew so many people that were talking heads in the film. I mean, I never had the privilege of meeting Herman Cain or a couple people, but a lot of the other people I just thought, hey, this is wonderful. You got some terrific, terrific people in it. I got to say this, Nick, before we get too far into this, whenever I watch a film that's either conservative or Christian, I'm already skeptical. Right. I'm already thinking like, well, I might like it, but I don't think other people will like it, whatever. And so I was watching it. And the first negative thing I saw was the first thing on the film was a quote from Ephesians. Now, I love it, but I thought anybody who sees this is going to be like, oh, it's one of those Christian films. And then you come on the screen and you are playing the serious guy watching TV and whatever. And you did such a good acting job that I was sucked in. And then I realized he's playing it funny. It was very funny the way you decided, I'm out of here. I can't take this anymore. And you go on this journey. So it really is funny. And I didn't expect myself to say this, that it is really funny. You pull it off. And we need more of this. So I was so excited that I get to talk to you this morning, because I thought, I can hardly think of anyone doing anything in the genre in which you did this film that pulls it off and that makes it something that I would want to say to people, you should watch this. So I'm thrilled to be able to report that you pulled it off. Really funny stuff.
Well, thank you, Eric. I mean, that was sort of important to me and Chris from the beginning, that we, you know, I wanted to make it entertaining, and I also wanted to make it something that would be appealing to people, younger people, you know, kids. And so we wanted to make a film that parents could watch with their children, because it is important history that they're not getting in school. And I thought, in order to do that, that, you know, making the jokes would kind of keep people interested. And so the humor is a good subplot in the movie.
Well, but what's interesting to me, Nick, is you can't really teach humor or comedy. It's kind of like people talk about, can you teach writing? You can teach people how to be better at it, but right. you can't teach somebody to pole vault if they can't already, you know, do something athletic. So what you have an innate sense of comedy. And that's key, because that there's just no substitute for that. And I really think that you pull it off throughout the whole film. When you're trying to speak to people on the phone, you know, that's, I can tell you're riffing, you're doing it off the cuff, and you know, you're actually funny. And so it works, but it was wonderful. So who are some of the people that were in it? Obviously Herman Cain.
Yeah.
Incredible. We had, I'm just thinking Dennis Prager, tons of people that I just know.
Right. Alveda King. And one of the really great surprise interviews that we got, that we didn't know we were going to get until the day before, was Ambassador Andrew Young in Atlanta.
Okay. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. He's about 88 years old.
Yeah.
I was astounded because I think of him, as liberal.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah.
He's a man of God. I was really astonished.
Mm-hmm. He was. That was one of the more moving interviews. I mean, the Herman Cain interview was very moving too. But to hear Andrew Young, when we approached him, he knew that this was basically a, you know, by and large, made by a conservative group, or you know, financed by them. But when we told him that the movie was going to be about the relationship between America and God through the years, he said, anything that's about that, I want to participate in.
Well, I want to tell you, it was extraordinary. When we come back, I want to talk about what he says, because it was very moving. Folks, I'm talking Nick Searcy. The film is America, America. God shed his grace on thee. You can go to salemnow.com. Use the code Eric. It's fun for the whole family.
Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Eric. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code Eric. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric.
Folks, I'm talking to an actor. I'm also talking to a director and a producer. His name is Nick Searcy. Nick, you really surprised me the other day when because we're talking about your film, America, America. People can find it at salemnow.com. Use the code Eric. But Before we get into the film, you shocked me the other day because I spoke at Rob McCoy's church, God Speak, up in, what is it? Newbury Park,
Thousand Oaks. Newbury Park, California, yeah.
And you were in the line, in the book line, and I said, hey, I follow you on Twitter. You, do you go to that church? You live in that neck of the woods?
I live near there, yeah. I go to that church. I sometimes go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, which is Jack Hibbs' church.
Jack, I also spoke there about 6 or 8 weeks ago, yeah.
So I go back and forth, but yeah, by and large, I go to Rob's church whenever I can.
Isn't it exciting what God is doing in those two churches and around California? It's astonishing, really. You couldn't make this up.
Well, Rob's church, you know, there's a section in the film where we went to Rob's church on the day that the police threatened to shut him down and ticket everybody. And we were there and we did part of the film there. And that's how I met Rob and started going to his church. And what the interesting thing about that whole story is that we discovered that in doing this movie that we thought was about the history of the United States and the Bible, we really discovered that this was a movie about religious liberty. And that's why this country was founded. And Rob and Jack were the two ministers that were near me that had their churches open, that were actually standing up for religious.
Well, liberty. The thing is, a lot of people don't know this, but I spoke in Jack Hibbs's church, I guess, right? It was maybe, I think it was on Valentine's Day. And I spoke at Rob's church very recently, and I'm sure I'm going to go back this summer. But both of these churches and a number of others in California defied Governor Newsom's shutdown orders. And as a result of their courage, they blew up. Tons of people are just looking for this kind of spirit of liberty. And a lot of them are not even Christians. Some of them are atheists, but they're just on board with the attitude that Jack Hibbs and Rob McCoy have had. So these churches have exploded. In the book line, half the time I'm asking people, so how long have you been going to this church? You go to this church? Tons of people said, oh, I started going about 3 months ago. I started going about 4 months ago. Tons of people have started going recently. So it's just an amazing thing. But we got to get back to the film. Right. One of the things in the film that blew my mind was your interview with Andrew Young. Explain to my audience who he is for folks who, because a lot of younger people have no clue who he is.
Andrew Young marched with Dr. King. He was an integral part of King organizing everything and getting those marches going. And then he also became Jimmy Carter's ambassador to the United Nations, went on to become mayor of Atlanta and other things. But Andrew was, you know, a Democrat his whole life and still, but he considers himself a minister much more than a politician. He was an ordained minister very early on, back when he was working with King.
Well, what shocked me was his story about going in to see Dr. King. Dr. King is in jail, and Andrew Young comes in. Now, he's a very young man at this point.
Yeah.
And I guess Ralph Abernathy and Dr. King were in the jail cells, and he comes to visit them. And he says there was a police captain or something sitting at the desk who was clearly a nasty racist.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to tell that story.
Called him the N-word, you know, just sort of casually. And Andrew Young always tells a story that his father taught him that racist people were sick and that not to hate them, not to argue with them, but they were sick and they needed to be prayed for. And so the way Andrew Young ministered to this racist man is one of the most compelling stories in the whole movie, because he basically treated him with respect and made the man, you know, made friends with this guy. And then years later, when he meets this man again, he finds that he really changed this man's life by the way he treated him.
And he showed him the love of Jesus. There's no question about it. He showed him the love of Jesus,
right. And
it did something. It's so powerful that if people only watch the film for that interview, it's worth it, because you very rarely hear stories like that.
I agree.
And it was very moving. And to hear it from Andrew Young, this is a guy, he's not on board where we are politically or whatever, but this is a guy who understands Jesus is real. The love of God is real. And he lived it. And we forget that the civil rights, the whole movement was started in the churches, and it was fundamentally God-oriented, biblical, nonviolent, everything that BLM is not, the antithesis of what Black Lives Matter is.
Yeah, he actually talked about that a little bit. It didn't. It's in the outtakes, but he talked about how the BLM movement and the civil rights movement he led are different. And he said the primary thing that's different is that there is no spiritual leader. They had a focal leader in the civil rights movement, which was Martin Luther King, who was a Christian minister. And this BLM movement doesn't have that central figure. And
it's you know what? I think you're wrong. I think he's unnamed. I think it's Satan. I say that in love, by the way. But right. Satan technically is a spiritual leader of all Marxist atheist movements.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also said that in organizing the Martin Luther King rallies, it would take 3 months to set up a march. You'd call 750 people on the phone. They'd all say they were going to be there. 50 people would show up. He said, now BLM puts out a tweet, 2,000 people, you know, it's just a totally different situation now.
Well, it was so moving. I mean, I think it's so important for people to understand the centrality of Jesus to civil rights. I was talking to my friend John Smirak on this program many times, but just yesterday we talked about how, apart from the Bible, how could somebody even say racism is wrong? They're assuming everybody agrees it's wrong. You say, okay, I agree, it's wrong. Tell me why. Mm-hmm. The folks who led the civil rights movement in this nation, they knew why. And it's because God says. We'll be right back talking to Nick Searcy. It's the Arkham Taxes Show. Folks, I'm talking to Nick Searcy. And Nick, I follow you on Twitter. You're funny, which is those are words of high praise coming from me, because that's one of my key values in life. And in the film, there's a lot of humor. It's called America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. Folks can find it at salemnow.com. Use the code Eric for the discount. But tell us, in the film, you said that you talk about the centrality of God to American liberty and to all that's been good in America, including the civil rights movement.
Yeah, I mean, as Rob McCoy, my pastor, always says, liberty doesn't come from government, it comes from God. And that's what the Martin Luther King story, as it's taught in schools, is always about the civil rights and the political aspect of it. And they always leave out the fact that he was a Christian minister. And that's what we bring out in the film, is that the reason his movement worked, and Andrew Young says this flat out, the reason it worked was because he was able to imbue the movement with the love of Christ. And that's why he was successful. And that's just an aspect to it that's really central to the reasons that that movement was successful. And public schools never teach that.
Well, think of the scandal of what you're saying. Public schools never teach that. That is true, but they don't teach it. I think we have to have a revolution in this country, and something that's not true has to be unacceptable. There are many things that are taught where they leave things like that out. And it doesn't make any sense if you leave that out. It really becomes preposterous, because why would they do it? Everything about the civil rights movement was about the Bible. Everything about it. You could go back to the abolitionist movement. It's all about the Bible. And to take that out is to do violence to history. There's just no question about it, because it's that central. It's not a side thing that we're ignoring.
Yeah, and it's also important we bring out in the film that Martin Luther King didn't attack the Constitution. He didn't say the Constitution was racist. He said the Constitution was correct and America wasn't living up to it, which is so different from what we're hearing now, where they say that the left is always screaming about how the Constitution is invalid, it should be liquid, it should be changed. And actually, the opposite is true. The Constitution has it right. And we should continue to respect that Constitution, just like Martin Luther King did.
Well, the Constitution is inherently explicitly, well, not explicitly, but inherently anti-racist. If you get rid of the Constitution, you will have some kinds of racism, tribalism. Without what the Constitution gives us, which it finds its core in the scripture, in its terms of its values and what it sets out, without that, you really get anarchy. And that's what we see with BLM and Antifa.
they just want to tear things down. They don't have anything to put in its place except sheer Marxist power mongering. That's basically what you always see with communism. They talk about equality, but when they get power, there's zero equality. You know, Stalin's in charge. He's a dictator.
Yeah. Everybody equally misery. Everybody equal in poverty. And
right. And yeah.
That's their idea of equality. And the anarchy is the point. I mean, I think that is exactly right. They are trying to tear everything down and rule over the ashes.
Do you wear a cowboy hat in every interview, or are you just being nice to me?
I don't wear it in every interview, but I'm getting ready to get on a plane and I have to take my cowboy hat with me. So the only way I can take it is to wear it.
Because the only way you remember it, right? So the film, who else is in the film? I'm trying to think. There's so many people. Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, lots of folks.
Michael Knowles is in it. Brigitte Gabrielle. Let's see. Herman's in it. Louis Gohmert is in it.
Yeah, he's in it. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. I've had the privilege to meet all these folks over the years.
Larry Schweikart. I don't know if you know Larry, but
tell us about Larry, because I know of him, but I don't know him.
He's really a great, great, funny man, a great writer. He wrote the Patriots History of the United States, which is it's a response to the Zen People's History, the kind of communist history of the United States that guy Zen wrote. And he's just been a friend for years, and he's always an interesting guy to talk to. He's got a great sense of humor. Used to be a rock drummer and became a history professor.
Larry
Schweikart.
And where is he, Larry Schweikart?
He's in Arizona.
So he's a professor of history in Arizona.
I think he's retired now, but he was a professor of history for a long time at the University of Dayton. And I think he now is just full-time writing in Arizona.
But his book is A Patriot's History of the United States?
Yes, that's one of them. It's a great big thick thing. He's written a lot of books. He wrote a great book about Reagan that just came out last year.
We have to re-educate our citizenry about the basics. And that's really what your film does.
Right.
You show unequivocally that God has been at the center of our liberties, all these ideas that they're inextricably intertwined. It's something I talk about a lot. I wrote in my book, If You Can Keep It, there's no way around it. And this is what I find funny. People act as though, well, that's a way you could go. No, there's no other way that you get American-style self-government and real liberty apart from that. And many people talk about that in the film.
Yeah. Larry Schweikart in the film says that America was the first country that was founded on bottom-up governance, not top-down. Like it was a government by the people, for the people, with the people. And that means we have the right to choose our leaders. And that's the reason this country was founded that way is because of the concept that liberty does not come from government, but it comes from God. And without that concept, this country couldn't exist. And it won't exist if we lose that.
One of the things that I learned in the film that I had never heard before, in the beginning of the film, you talk about how in the Revolutionary War, somebody, I can't remember who it was saying, don't fire. It wasn't until you see the whites of their eyes. It was don't fire unless you are fired upon. Right. Who was that? Do you remember that?
You know, I wish I did, but that was something Jack Hibbs talks about.
That's right.
I can't remember the man.
Well, it doesn't matter, but the idea of it was extraordinary.
Yeah. It's like, we don't want war, but if they start something, we'll fight. And so, that concept was a new thing.
Well, I mean, the principle of it, and it's kind of where we are now in the nation. And I have said this, and people have vilified me. They say, like, you know, you're calling for violence. No, I'm saying I'm willing to die for liberty, just as many thousands, millions have died for liberty and freedom. It's the right thing to do. If people gave their lives so that we could have liberty, we should be willing to give our lives. We're not teaching our young people that. We'll be back. Final segment. I'm talking, folks, to Nick Searcy. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Nick Searcy, S-E-A-R-C-E-Y, correct?
No, no E, S-E-A-R-C-Y, Searcy.
No E. I'm so glad that I asked. Nick, seriously, look, you're making films, you're doing stuff, you're wearing a cowboy hat, you're getting on a plane. Where are you going today? Any place fun? You're leaving California?
Yes, I'm going to Nashville, Tennessee, and going to spend some time there doing some stand-up comedy, actually. I'm opening for a friend of mine named Rodney Carrington at Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville.
Guess where I'm flying? I'm packing my suitcases right here. I'm flying to Nashville today as well.
Oh, great.
No kidding.
I'll see you there.
We can hook up at Zany's, man. Seriously, I am coming to Nashville. I don't know if I have time to do that, but that's so terrific.
How long are you going to be there?
Well, I'm going to be in Cookeville, Tennessee. Okay. So it's not that close to Nashville. Then I'm going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But I want to ask you, you say you're doing stand-up comedy. You do stand-up comedy, obviously. What's with that? Where did this come in?
I wouldn't say that I do stand-up comedy generally, but my friend Rodney, I did a show with him, sitcom on ABC years ago called Rodney, and I played his best friend. And last November, when everything was shut down and Rodney was doing small comedy clubs again, he said, "Do you want to come out and just try it? You can open for me and do 10 or 12 minutes." And I said, "Okay, sure, I'll give it a shot." And so I did a couple of weeks of shows with him, and really, kind of after the first few days of being terrified, I kind of got to where I enjoyed it. So
what time is your first set? I'm fascinated.
It's Thursday at, I think the show's at 7:30.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
At 7:30 at Zany's. Who thought I'd be talking to you about this? So you don't you have like scripted jokes, or do you just get up there and, come up with stuff?
Most of my jokes are about, funny things my wife says. We've been married for 35 years, so, she's the funny one. So I just tell people what she said. That's mostly my act.
That is unbelievable. And so what is your shtick? Like, you're a redneck from California?
No, I talk about my acting career, and I talk about how after Fried Green Tomatoes came out, I got offered, it kind of put me on the map, but I kept getting offers to play wife beating husbands and Klansmen and racists and serial killers. And, because that's what I played in the movie. And so I played all these roles. I mean, I played a lot of Democrats, let's face it. And
what did you say? You can't say that. But so you got offered those roles and you didn't want them. Did you get any roles? Did you do anything after that you'd want to talk about, or was it all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't play all Democrats. I was in Castaway with Tom Hanks, and I played this, a good sheriff in Nell with Jodie Foster. And then I played a general in Shape of Water, and I was in Three Billboards. And, I've done small roles in a lot of things. But one of the big jokes in the stand-up is that I say to my wife, after getting offered all these wife beaters and stuff, I said, why do you think they keep offering me these things where I beat up women? And Leslie said, "Well, you don't look like you could beat up a man."
Aha. Your wife is funny. We're going to get her on the show. It's wonderful to get to know you. And I just have to say that it is kind of funny. There's something about you when I'm looking at you. If I were casting, I understand why they would go there, because you've got this something about you. You're inherently hateful apart from the grace of God. But that's true of all of us. You just wear it on your sleeve and on your face. And I think that could be good or that could be bad, but you look like you're having fun. I'm having fun talking to you, obviously. The film, you should be very proud of it. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. I hope everybody will look for it. SalemNow.com, use the code Eric. Honestly, I don't recommend films lightly. It was wonderful, not only to keep my attention, but it was funny and informative. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. My new friend, Nick Searcy, have a great trip, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. I'm going to get you in the next film.
I would like that very much. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
God bless you too, Eric. Thanks a lot.